Blog Talk Radio.
It's like I'm always getting punked by that Blog Talk Radio thing. And thank you for joining us. This is The Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry. It is Thursday, the 15th of August in 2013. And welcome to the show. How you doing, Nick?
Yeah, good. Good. Riding the waves.
Well, that's good to hear. And how is spirit therapy going?
Yes, very nicely. Thank you. We did a body image this past Monday, Love Your Body. So, and I had yet another guest, a male actor. So I thought it was a good perspective back and forth. Yeah, good. Thanks.
Well, wonderful. And I want to remind folks that Monday evenings at 7 p.m., you can tune in to Here Be Monsters and Find Spirit Therapy with Nicole Tomasini from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., correct?
Yes.
Last week we had Vila Spiderhawk on, and we got to talking about all of the different energy that has been blazing through lately, and all of the shift changing that is happening, that is going on. And I began to play one of Tom Lesher's reports. And we spoke about it. I played a bit of it through, but I didn't play the whole thing. And I thought that this week, because it's really interesting again, there's a lot of changes going on.
Cool.
You know, help me out here. Stretch it. Nick, I'm
fighting. No, I really enjoy his reports. Like, it gives a really good insight. He looks like he's just looking at a map of the stars, which I know is what you're doing when you're an astrologer, but... And it's like it tells him the whole story. Like he's just reading it out to you and putting his spin on it. I really like it, and I find it's very accurate. It applies very well to my life.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's give it a go and play it for our listening audience for this week. And this is the Pele Report by Ty Pacho and Tom Lesher, the astrologer from California.
Aloha, this is Kai Pacha with the weekly Pele Report. And this one is for August 14th of the year 2013. And I'm trying to get this thing done before 6 o'clock when the moon leaves Scorpio and goes into Sagittarius. We've got this first quarter moon happening. I don't know if you saw it last night. She's absolutely beautiful. Then she's going into Capricorn on Saturday. No, Friday. Friday she goes into Capricorn. And then on Sunday she goes into Aquarius. And Tuesday she moves into Pisces. So we have our full moon next Tuesday, just before she goes into Pisces at 28 degrees of Aquarius. That sun is still in Leo. We're going to have the full moon next Tuesday, 28 degrees Leo Aquarius. So this report is spanning this whole first quarter to full. Yeah. So Scorpio through Sag, Capricorn, Aquarius. The moon is, you know, getting bigger and bigger all the time. And these past couple of days, as she was passing over Saturn and the north node of the moon in Scorpio, has been a watery time, an inward time. She created, you know, that grand trine is still going on with Jupiter, Saturn, the node, Chiron, and Neptune, and Black Moon Lilith. We've got all this stuff going on with this grand water trine. I've talked about it in previous reports. But the sun is still moving through Leo the Lion, and Mercury right now, today, as I'm doing this report, is right in the middle, 11 degrees of Leo, squaring the moon's nodes. So we want to just look at all of this astrology into this report. And last but not least, for sure, the big part is Venus moving out of Virgo. Yeah? And she's at 29 degrees tomorrow. And on Friday, she moves into Libra. So we want to be talking about all these kinds of things right now. But what's really striking me, you know, with this report is just how this Saturn north node of the moon is coming closer and closer and closer and closer. Saturn is at 6 degrees. The moon's node is at 11. And they're just going to get squeezed and squeezed until in September they're going to join together. And today, right now, as I speak, Mercury is square. So it's time to talk about it's time to talk about this nodal axis. It's time to talk about Saturn conjoining the North Node. It's time to talk about this moon, the sun in Leo. Leo, the lion. I think of these, you know, Puma, the cat family. There's a couple of little baby cats here at the ranch that, you know, are getting ready for this festival. And the one just had this, you know, eye that was just all inflamed. And I think of these wounded animals. And I think of how nature is here to teach us things. And I observe and watch wounded animals. And there's some yaks over here, and one of them is limping. And how these animals just carry with them the wounds we carry with us. I got a few scars. You know, we all have a few scars. Life is really bringing us a lot of challenges. And there's a lot of, you know, pain. Life can be cruel. This Saturn North Node in Scorpio, with this last couple of days, the moon moving through Scorpio, this is about letting go. And it's about dying. And it's very often painful on an emotional level, on a physical level, on a mental level. This letting go is like, this is a challenge. And this goes with all of the astrology right now. The Jupiter opposite Pluto, Black Moon Lilith coming into this opposition with Pluto. This is a time where a lot of us are just facing the need. You know, Jupiter squares Uranus this weekend. Yeah? It's, early next week. It's right now. And this Jupiter squaring Uranus, look back to April of 2011 when Jupiter was conjunct Uranus. Time to break free, break out. Yeah? And I've talked about this letting go, and moving on and breaking free. And I just want to add a different twist. If I think of, you know, and I think of my heroes, my stars, yeah, you know, I think of Amici, I think of Mother Teresa, Jesus Christ, Gandhi, Martin Luther King. I think of all these people, gods, goddesses, you know, these elevated, really amazing people. And I think of how much they carry and how much they are honored and how much we call a hero or a heroine is someone who can carry the weight, the pain, the suffering of their neighbors, of the past, of all of humanity. There is this, you know, and so I think of this shutting down, letting go, cutting the cord, saying goodbye, sometimes, you know, with a little anger, bitterness, resentment. And I think of it that as being separation. And here we are, 2013, the year of the end of separation, the beginning and the birthing of a new paradigm. And it's about inclusion. It's not about exclusion. So I want to redefine letting go. You know, letting go is not always just, you know, oh, goodbye, screw you, it didn't work. Because a lot of this letting go can be done, with sadness, grief, judgment. Judgment. I think of like a past relationship. I let go of this past relationship because I wasn't enough or I couldn't handle it. And so I can feel guilty and ashamed of myself, that I'm too small, that I failed. Or I can judge the other person and say, oh, she was shut down. You know, she couldn't get over her past. You know, she wasn't able to really open her heart and accept me. So it's her fault. And so, you know, we can make up stories. I've talked about this over and over again. Explanations, judgments for why things don't work out or why we need to move on or why we have to let go. But I want to just, like, turn it around and say maybe we don't. Maybe this letting go is letting go of the judgment. Maybe this letting go is letting go of an attitude. And it's like embracing, continuing to love, continuing to include our past relationships, our past people, our past situations that maybe hurt, that maybe didn't work. But we let go of the judgment and we come into a place where we carry them with us in our hearts. It's like, I think of that, oh, I think it's the movie, Sleeping with the Enemy. You know, it's just like as we go forward, you know, we embrace and we include the people that give us a hard time, the people that we don't like, the people that, you know, we have the most challenging energy with, because there's something to learn, something to grow. Talked about that last week. But, like, now we can also move into this place. And this is, you know, this is the lion, this is the king, the queen. You know, I mean, we can react with this Mars in Cancer, Jupiter in Cancer, and we can retract into the womb of our safety and protect ourselves, and we don't want to get hurt again. Or we can move to that Pluto in Capricorn. We can move to that Saturn conjunct the North Node of being the big king, the, you know, Christ the Messiah, or Gandhi the leader, or Amici the hugging saint. And it's just like, you know what? I am big enough to carry you. It's maturity. It's growth. It's becoming the elder. This is Saturn conjunct the North Node. So I'm thinking that this time, you know, and we move through this moon moving through Capricorn. You know, and that's why I'm talking about this now, this moon conjunct Pluto. It's time to let go of our old past ways of judging situations, people, and ourselves. Because it's when we feel guilty or we feel ashamed or we blame the other person, which is that they're guilty, this all creates sadness and grief. Saturn, Capricorn, we're dealing with grief now. And this grief is very often the result of when things didn't go the way we wanted, the way we expected, and we're hard on ourselves or on somebody else. We want to find a source for our disappointment, for our disillusionment. So we say that with this grand trine, this Neptune and Chiron healing the wound of separation, if we move into a space of trust, faith, belief in life, source, God, goddess, whatever you want to name it, but that there was an intelligent plan for us to experience what we did and for us to no longer experience what we are no longer experiencing. And it's not bad, and it's not wrong. And just let's go So it's the letting go of the judgment, which creates pain and grief and sorrow, and not necessarily letting go of the person or the relationship or the past, the mother, the father, the childhood, the memory. We don't need to so much let go of memories so much as to like purge them or purify them of the anger, the charge, the bitterness, the judgment that we labeled those memories with. So it's like instead of letting go physically or letting go emotionally, we can let go like mentally, intellectually, judgmentally, and move into this like spirit space, this spirit knowing. You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm thinking. This week, this is what can be happening. This is Mercury squaring those nodes, illuminating this for us, and this full moon coming around into Aquarius. Absolute non-attachment. And after that, it's going to be going into Pisces. So this Aquarius Pisces, after this full moon, I want to encourage you, it's about community. We're here at this healing festival, a world community. Include everyone in your community. Even the nuts and the quacks and the whatevers. And, yeah, that's the new paradigm. That's the end of separation. That's seeing a little bit of myself, a little bit of myself in everybody and everything around me. And
so with me?
Yeah, absolutely. Wow.
That's a lot, isn't it? Usually Thomas is really about, you know, moving forward into the energy that is coming up in front of us and reminding us to, make the best of the moments, that the energy of the moments, the influences of the moments. By the way, he always does a little mantra for each of his Pele reports, and the mantra that he had for this one was, to let go, I need not shut out and reject, ignore, deny, shut down, and protect. I can trust that life had an intelligent plan for me to experience all that I can. I thought that was pretty cool.
Very.
There's a lot going on right now.
Yeah, and I've had so many people come to visit me lately, like in the past 3 weeks. It's like they're crawling out of the woodwork and they're coming to hang out, and I had to notice that. I was like, wow. And, I mean, you know, it was wonderful, and it's summertime, and, you know, there's hanging out, but it happened so much and so randomly, and it all orchestrated so nicely. It, like, fell into place. I couldn't have made this plan myself. So I had to think about it, and now he just totally laid it all out about inclusion and having your community around you, because they're people I've known for years and just come back whenever it's time to come back. And then on top of it, the fact that he was saying about, you know, letting go of people and feelings that you have and judgments. I mean, I enjoy all of these people, but being an intuitive person, I tend to take on their vibration, and eventually I don't realize that it's like part of me. And so to take the time out to sort of just relax back into myself and allow their energy to flow but have my own energy back as my anchor because otherwise I'm getting too tired and kind of brain dead. So it's an interesting lesson to learn how to balance all of this. You know, a lot of people coming through, a lot of big energy people, and staying in your own energy while incorporating theirs and having a good time.
Well, I hear what you're saying. My lesson hasn't been the same with it because I've been dealing with, you know, changes that are, going through the death, definitely. I'm with the Mayan Xibalba B journey, which is what he's describing. And he talks about going into nature and allowing nature to heal you. And it's funny because that's what I've been doing in order to put myself in a place of healing. I generally will be creative. And I've been working on animal medicine energy and shape-shifting and working with that energy to help me connect with the Earth Mother and to feel some stability, because the volatility of the planet brings a volatility to sensitive people. I remember that my teacher told me that, you know, years ago, one of them told me that, you know, we were out looking for feathers in the Everglades, and he grabbed his back, and I said, oh my goodness, what's wrong? It was very dramatic. And he said, well, when you hurt, you know, the Earth Mother is hurting, and when you're very connected to the Earth Mother, when you're working with her plant allies, when you're working in alignment with connecting yourself through light every day or whatever to the Earth Mother, there's a connection there that if you're not conscious of, it's still resonant and still affects you and still has its physical ramifications. You know, it will manifest. And he said something is coming. Something very big is coming. Well, we had a storm. A storm came about 2 days later. And Tommy, he knew that this was going to happen. He knew something was coming, and he finally got it because, you know, we have such great, you know, we have Weather Channel and all of that. But he knew it before, you know, because he was connected to the Earth. And same as when Hurricane Katrina was happening, Asa and I were in upstate Massachusetts, and nobody up there had any kind of cable or, you know, any news we got was local and it was over radio type of thing. We had no idea what was going on with Katrina. But I, by the time we were ready to leave, I kept feeling bad and worse. Mm-hmm. And by the time we were ready to leave, I could barely walk. I was just... Wow. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. Then we got home. We got back down to the South Shore. And find out, you know, I turned on CNN and it was showing people on top of their roofs, you know. Waiting to be. And I said, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. This is what. And when I realized that, I got to tell you something extraordinary. My back. It like snapped out of it. The pain wasn't acute. I could get up, and after some Epsom salts and stuff, I was much better. So we have this connection to nature, and the animals are so connected. What are your animal totems? What are your, you know, everybody defines an animal's medicine through their own relationship. I don't know if folks really understand that, but we do that. We define the relationship ourselves. What are your big totems?
Definitely the owl, seeing the unseen, and then the horse for sure, and a little bit of like coyote, wolf. Yeah, those are kind of the top three.
Can you share the medicine, like owl?
Sure.
What is the medicine of owl that you align with?
Yeah, well, owl is about deception and seeing through the deception and also seeing the unseen, spotting the target, and a silent mover. And so I see it as really being able to discern what's happening in the world and seeing what's true, what's light, what's dark, you know, even in darkness. So that's, and then also connected with Athena, which I also resonate with. And then the horse is power and also I think of very much service and gentle strength. And, you know, I'm built kind of, you know,
How does it work for you? How do you demonstrate it in your life?
It's that gentle power. It's like, well, you know, I could trample this situation, or I could, you know, step lightly through it and carry this weight with grace.
Yeah.
And a moving forward, like a constant, you know, like with stamina and strength and comfort, you know.
Yeah. That's really good. Mm-hmm. Owl is one of mine too. I'm great horned owl has always been my first. Well, no, I think coyote is my first. Great horned owl has always been on my shoulder though too. I get this twinge on my shoulder sometimes that I realize there's something I'm not looking at or seeing. But for me, it's a vision through darkness. It's that night eagle vision. And learning to trust what I see with vision. I'm talking about my third eye, the mystic side, the prophetic side, the shamanic acuity, you know? For me, that's what OWL is there for in my life. And seeing my own deceptions, you know, how I'm deluding myself kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you said coyote. How do you define coyote?
Coyote to me is all about the trickster. He's the happy trickster and the playful, you know, dog. But he relates to comedy with me because, you know, it's like you're speaking the truth, but you've got your spin on it, which, you know, it can either go raw and it's funny, or it can go, you know, over the top and it's funny or whatever. So it's kind of, Kyo to me kind of keeps you on your toes and reminds me to laugh at myself and realize that many things are just ridiculous. And thank God for this ridiculousness. You go, wow, that was just, what was that? Awesome. I don't even know what that was, but it was awesome. Well, it trips me up and my knee is hurting. And then you're just like, oh, you wily coyote, right?
Yeah, I get you there. One of my teachers a long time ago gave me a earth name, and my earth name at that time was Coyote Dream Sender. And I was like, coyote, really? You know? But I have to tell you, when I was living in upstate New York, I had a little house in Watkins Glen when I was going to college. We used to have coyotes in the neighborhood. I was very close to woods and stuff. And in the winter, the coyotes would come, you know, and they'd knock over your garbage cans and steal what they could out of it, foraging and stuff. And I walked out one night to close my garage door because it started snowing. And I had forgotten to close my garage door. My little car was in there. And I walked out, and there were like three coyotes peeing on the side of my house.
Wow.
They were peeing on the side of my house, right near the steps where you walk up the steps to go into the front door.
Wow. Coyote medicine right there. They're like, this is where we live.
And I came out, I walked out, and I knew this before, and there was like a couple inches of snow on the steps. And I had on my penguin slippers, okay? All right. My penguin slippers. See, you ever see Jumpin' Jack Flash? Whoopi Goldberg has the penguin slippers.
Of course.
And I had those slippers.
Right.
There in the penguin slippers. And I went to, you know, shoo them away. And I put my foot out. And, of course, you know, I went boom down on my ass. And they all, like, backed off a little. But they just stood there and looked at me like they were going to laugh or something. I don't know. So I genuinely do have that coyote medicine. To me, it's Heyoka, too, the healer, the medicine person. Mm-hmm. and the storyteller, because the coyote will tell stories, sometimes opens and runs their mouth without even thinking, and they trick themselves more than they trick anybody else. That's the original chasing your own tail kind of medicine, isn't it?
Yeah. Wow.
So who else do you work with? Who else is in your medicine bag?
Yeah, well, and the big black cat, which I have a apartment version of in reality.
Oh, a panther?
Because to me, that's the panther equates also with the hunt, and one of my favorite misters, actually, of yours, I've been running it for a while now, it's great, is Artemis, because the energy of Artemis and your mister and the cat all, to me, is about focusing on your target. And even if you're just going out to the store, getting your thing to bring it back, I'll spray the Artemis to, okay, here we go. We're going to be all up. We're going to go. We're going to get it. We're going to come back, and it's all going to orchestrate. And I do it also on my bike ride, because it's like the journey through the woods, and you can ride it. It's like exciting but with grace and paying attention. You know, there's a lot of just paying attention that I seem to work with. I never realized that until now.
Wow. Well, you know that, but that the descriptions. For me, of course, what I do is I think about indigenous sentient animals are just so well populated over the planet that basically what I do is I make a relationship between the qualities and the environment that the characteristics of an animal and a scent in creating the oil version. It's like with hawk. I use tall trees. I use cedar leaf and I use juniper and pine, an ocean pine. And then I put just a little grounding to it with vetiver. Because hawk should be about grasping, you know, breath, but also the feeling of soaring and clarity so that you can see very well and be able to hear very clearly. To me, hawk is all about huge clarity, and the message is between worlds. So it's a mediumship, an astral kind of a clarity. Do you know what I mean? Spirit messages.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And yeah. It involves consciousness. So that's how I work. And you said like wolf was also one that you aligned with. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, wolf, I see more of this sort of male energy, but it's like this very ancient kind of a male. It incorporates all types of, you know, the warrior, the sage, the father, the everything, you know, the grandfather. And
yeah.
And I see it as protection, and also he gives warnings, like, a lot of wolves come in my dreams, really. Yeah. Wolves and cats and horses. Yeah. I guess they all kind of come, but I guess maybe when the wolf shows up, I remember it more, because usually it's something, it's like, I'm about to need to really see what's going on and something's coming, you know?
Well, that's interesting. It is a guidance medicine. I think wolf is a guidance medicine. I also get a very, because of the way wolf is within the pack and within his species and his environment, there is a strong sense of tradition associated with wolf medicine. But also at the same time, there's that quest for freedom that I think you can see in the way a wolf will run their territory. You know, there's that quest for, you know, if they say leave me alone, then they mean it. Leave me alone. Let me go off on my own. And yet they always return to the group. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a quest for freedom. Also with Wolf, Wolf is one of those animals that, you know, I've actually observed and lived around a timber wolf and its mate who was a regular wolf. Boy, she was scary. The timber wolf was huge, but he never scared me. I got in his area with him. Our vet up in North Carolina had a timber wolf and a female wolf as, you know, his mate. And they had a great big preserve out behind her place. And she said, do you think you have the fortitude to go in there and photograph him for me? And I'm like, yeah, sure, I think I can if you keep her out, you know. And mm-hmm. take her, you know, take her on a drive or something, so whatever. And then I thought, no, you better be around. So just put her in the, you know, hospital, whatever. But anyway, I got in there with him after the vet introduced me to him. And man, what a cool animal. I mean, he was respectful because I was respectful to him. And I did not try to approach him until he gave me a sign that it was all right. And I didn't raise my lens until he gave me a sign. And the sign was him just getting comfortable with his body language. And I got to tell you, this, you know how tall those timber wolves are?
Wow, yeah.
I mean, no. I mean, his head came up to my jaw, you know?
Wow.
He, if he had wanted to take me out, ooh, you know, that would have happened fast.
Sure.
I took pictures of this timber wolf. I must have taken, in the old days of film, you know, I must have taken 3 or 4 rolls. When I was done, she let his mate back out, and I was, when I came back out to get my car and leave, that female was at the fence just growling at me with, you know, oh, boy, did I cross the line. Which is interesting. It does tell you that there is truth to the fact that wolves do take a mate for life. But with loyalty, one of the strongest medicines for loyalty, I find, is the lion. What do you think?
I mean, the lion, I think of the lion as loyalty or loyalty?
Loyalty. L-O-Y. Yeah, loyalty.
Okay. Because for some reason I see the lion as, like, I always kind of picture maybe it's a little bit of Narnia. The lone, like, you know, huge bearded lion. Like, it's kind of like this a lone, kingly Christ figure, you know, with claws. Like this power, just powerful, and so powerful he can just kind of lounge around all day, you know, like.
Yeah, no, I think the medicine of lion is actually, its primary medicine is strong personal power. And I think they're able to face any conflict situation.
Right, yes.
They're protective. They're a protective guide, too. Yes. They have. They're very fierce, but they use a gentle leadership.
And actually, now that you say this with the loyalty, I'm thinking of, you know, my friend Zion made me this mantra of drawing for the journeys that we go on. And the first one is a tall man or a tall figure and a short figure walking to a temple, because you're always going to learn something. And then the next picture is there's always a path, and there's shelter, and there's water, and there's green. And then the third, which is the resolution of whatever cycle you're going through, is is a goddess sitting in a lotus position with a lion at her feet, you know, that you've found your strength, you have been protected, and there's love and loyalty. You've conquered this, and now you can be fit in the peace of the wisdom of it. And so you start your journey again, you know. But that's always the goal, is to sit with the lion.
It's funny, I never thought that I had any kind of real cat medicine, but then a couple of years ago, I had a dream, a teaching dream. I was with my sister. We were in like upstate New York, and we were in some of those old houses or whatever. And it seemed like it was either moving in or moving out. But I was on the ground between two houses, and up there, the houses are like on an acre of land each. So they're far apart. And I was standing on the ground. My sister is standing on the stoop of the house near the door, and she looked at me and she started pointing and she was scared. And I turned around and I looked, and I remember there was like a truck or something, but I looked and there was this big cat. It was a female lion, a big cat. Coming, you know the difference between the female lion. They don't have that huge mane, but they're
right.
A lion.
Right.
And I thought in my dream, I remember feeling, okay, you've got to be strong. You've got to face her. That's your only chance. I remember thinking that's your only chance. And just as I thought that's your only chance, I felt her come up and next to me, and her head was like, she put her head right beneath my hand and she sat down next to me, and I woke up.
Wow. Awesome.
So I think I have a lion somewhere that is either, you know, it's either inside of me or it's beside of me, you know?
Right. Sure. But,
yeah. What other animals are you drawn to? You know, the mythical animals hold a medicine for us too. Like for me, and I have a very real sense of them, and there's a communication between me and them through my third eye. Mermen. Sounds funny, I know. But I've always seen in my third eye, I mean, mermen, especially if I'm standing on the shore. If I'm out to sea on the boat, I don't. But if I'm standing on shore, I see mermen in the waves that are just offshore. They're like, they're waiting for me to talk to them or come see them. I don't know. But I always think of them when I'm at the seashore.
That is so cool. Wow. Yeah, for me, it's definitely the dragon.
Yeah.
You know, to me, they're just as real as anything else. We just don't see them flying around a whole lot.
Well, now, there's plenty of dragons, but, you know, the dragon that we all think of, I think they're probably, at some time, every animal has been here, come and gone, whatever. What do you see as the dragon's medicine?
I mean, there's so many different colors, you know, that you can go through that are more specific with the dragons. But and I sort of just go with my intuition when I want to talk to one. I just want to see what they look like when they show up, and then maybe look it up later to learn more, you know, about what their medicine is. But for me, it's really all about circulation and regeneration and the fire from the ashes to the fire to the flame to the birth, rebirth, and cycling through something in a total metaphysical, physical, whatever manner, and in a speedy fashion. Like I find, especially when I feel like something's taking too long and I just want it to go, a lot of times I'll call for dragon to tell me how to get this going and at least give me the vibration of this moving forward, this incredible, you know, with one flap we can go how many miles, and and the flame that burst and that just let it all filter through, do its thing. That's how I see those guys.
You know, I hear what you're saying. I can relate to that to a certain degree. I think that dragon medicine is something I need personally to be working with right now. But for me, this is how I've interpreted it and how I've blended it up and stuff. I see dragon medicine, especially now, as psychic courage and fortitude medicine. They open a doorway into the supernatural or the many dimensions. They are protective. They show us the way to personal transformation and change. They give up, they lend us passion. They nudge us towards potential, and they have always, always, always been associated with great wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Dragons mm-hmm. always have treasure.
Right. Yeah. It reminds me of the BBC.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, just the BBC series, Merlin. Merlin is young in it, and he's learning how to become himself. And there's a dragon that's been chained up in the bottom of the castle, you know, because of Luther. He was confused. But anyway, Merlin goes to the dragon a lot for guidance, and it's always this very straight but riddle like and says exactly what needs to be said, because he always sees, like you said, the whole magic of the fabric and then guides him as such, like, well, this is what it is, so you have these choices, you know, make the right one, basically.
When I speak of dragons always having wealth, I don't, you know, wealth is defined in many different ways. For one dragon, it might be gold and jewels, but for another dragon, it might be the green earth of his homeland and all of the abundance in a healthy environment. You know what I'm saying? That wealth is what we define it as. And I think we learn that through drag.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. That's so amazing. Like, I never really thought of that, but it's definitely the energy that they bring. I think that's why also they're so comforting. It's like, it's this broader perspective on things with so much strength and so much courage and so much wisdom. You know, it's like wealth is nothing. It's like, I mean, not that it's nothing, but it's you know, of course, I'm a dragon, of course, you know, that's what we do.
That's true. I'm putting all of the I've created these animal medicine meditations over at Daughters of Isis, and it's the oil, and then I make a flower essence too, and it's a whole experience for meditation with the animal. And the animal guide or the shape-shifting meditation. And I'm giving out my own interpretations of the different animals, which I've used a lot of studying, plus what, you know, just that you interpret the way you do. I think people should. You can look for the animal you're drawn to, but your own interpretation is going to be the strongest and the most powerful for you. And I'm discovering animals that have such wonderful energies and lessons to teach us. I've always wanted to create a blend and interact with alligator medicine, being, you know, a South Floridian. The Tequesta Indians considered alligators very patient animals, very patient and very subtle. You don't know. Yeah, and I have seen it. You don't know where they are. I mean, sometimes it's only their eyes popping out of the water. You'd be surprised how many people don't see it.
Yeah. Yeah, they have that stillness. You're right. Absolutely.
Yeah, and because they're such ancient reptiles, I think they hold an ancient knowledge.
Yeah.
Of the earth. I also think that they lend us something that they can actually, they actually scare the hell out of people and create personal crisis in their presence. But I think that they also have the ability to lend us an understanding or an awareness of calm in a crisis. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That really makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I've been looking for unusual. I've been looking for unusual totems that not everybody, because people work with. I actually found ladybug, and you know everybody knows that ladybugs are good luck, right? That's what everybody knows.
Yeah.
Well, I think that their medicine is fortunate circumstance.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
You know, they're filled with happiness, and I think that makes them very protective. I think that they can help us to dissipate worry and allow for a natural pace to resume itself in our lives. Did you know that ladybugs come in, like, 3 or 4 different colors? They're not just the red with the black dots. You can catch black ladybugs. I had a black ladybug land on me the other day.
Wow.
Yeah, there's yellow ones and there's green ones. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
what other
animal totem I've got that I'm working with here is gorilla.
Wow, interesting. Do tell.
I like the and the blend that I've developed for gorilla is something I personally am very attracted to.
Wow.
It's very sweet and grounding, and it has presence. And the gorilla I see. And especially after you can find some properties online for gorilla totem, and you can find it in some books. But I was looking at the National Geographic stuff and Jane Goodall and a bunch of other things. I came up with protection and responsibility medicine. I think that their big thing is loyalty to the community.
Wow. That also makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's like body, mind, spirit investment in a community. I really do. If you think about it and you take a look at how they live and the community they come from, and let's not forget, these are close on the family
evolutionary
scale.
Yeah, they're
close. Yeah. So, and I really, really like. I felt very, very good making the gorilla oil and also the flower essence. And the flower essence, when I worked with it last week, it gave me rescue. I was having my 19th nervous breakdown, and I had just blended, and I had to step outside of myself and potentize and energize the flower essence formula. And I was doing that. And so afterwards, I just sort of, you know, hey, let me try this out. And when I used it, I felt immediately relief, you know. So that was nice. That was a nice little discovery.
Wow, yeah. That sounds so, grounding also, like having everything work together while staying in your physical body. That sounds very attractive to me. That seems to be like one of the lifelong challenges,
you know,
I guess, of being a human right now.
Well, you know what I felt? I got to tell you, this is what I felt when I used the flower essence. I felt like I wasn't alone.
Hmm.
And I think that's really important for people right now.
Mm-hmm.
Not to feel alone. So that was pretty cool. I felt that way. What are some of the other animals that you are drawn to that, that give you an anchor in nature?
I'm actually thinking of dragonfly. They seem to show up a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I forget actually, like, what, you know, some of, like Ted Andrews and people say about dragonfly, but to me it's, like, very sort of mystical, and it's sort of like the butterfly. It's like the small insect version of the dragon, but with, like, a, I don't know, like a good omen kind of a feeling coming through. Can
Ted,
you tell more about it?
Ted thought of dragonflies as illusion and illumination. I think it's like creating illusions that spark illumination. I think the dragonfly, when they show up, and they usually show up and many, 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 you know, of them come at once, it awakens the storyteller spirit within us. And it encourages us to follow them into the many realms of nature, because it's got all of that iridescence. So it's attractive. It's like, what's that, fairy wings or something? What's going on over there, you know? And the other thing, they're very adaptable. And I think that they do lend, like Ted said, the empowerment to change our mind.
Mm. That makes sense. Wow, I didn't know that. It's funny, you know, sometimes these animals are following you around, and like squirrels for some reason, and like pigeons like flying right by me on my bike. Like, it happened 4 times on one ride, but like in a real, like, orchestrated kind of a way. Like, they already predicted my trajectory and, like, the speed that I was going. And they were just like, yeah, boom. And I was like, wow, it was so close, yet not scary. And it just kept happening. Boom, boom, like, back and forth, right in front of my face. I don't know what that means, but I thought it was pretty awesome.
Well, the squirrel is, I believe their medicine is gathering. And, well, that's because they are gatherers. But I also think squirrel, you know, I had a squirrel, I didn't realize I had so many animal stories. I was sitting under a tree in Farragut Park in Boston taking lunch one day, and had a squirrel come up to me, right up to me, grab a cigarette out of my hand. Cigarette right out of my hand. Walk away, go away with it, you know? Took it. Little some of me.
With his girlfriend.
I don't know, but he took off with it. And that same squirrel came to visit me every time I was in the park. I recognized the squirrel. He had a little, like, white fur tuft thing going on that gave him. So he was a bossy little guy. Oh, my God. We're at the end of the show.
Wow. Nice. Wow. Riding on the animals. Go, animals. That was awesome. I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Thank you, Nick, for being with me this week. I appreciate it, as always.
Yeah. Thank you. Me too. Always a great time.
And I want to remind everybody to listen in on Monday evenings at 7 p.m. to Spirit Therapy with Sunday, we have the Sunday show with Jack Jodell and myself. A radical, progressive, whatever, lots of politics and discussing which way we're moving as a people, as a humanity. And we have on Saturday coming up Joni Ross and Under the Moon at 6 p.m. on Saturday. Please don't miss her. And tomorrow, Anita Stewart with Wise Woman Media, co-chair of the Green Party in Florida. And she has a lot to tell you about what's going on in the world of progressive activism, too. So, and and women's awareness also. So there we are, goddess-inspired stuff and also the good guys. And thanks for being with me, Nick.
Great. Thank you, too. Glenn, awesome.
No, we are done.
Okay. Good night, y'all.
Night.